As part of my devotion this evening, I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2, verse 14 says this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." During the service this afternoon, this early evening, we've been singing some of the favorite Christmas carols. Short, simple songs of praise and joy. I was listening to the radio earlier today and they were talking about favorite Christmas songs, and then they were talking about least favorite Christmas songs or Christmas songs that should never be on the radio again. But ultimately, that list was pretty consistent. The favorites were not. And I was surprised because it was sports radio that they were talking about. And they decided that Joy to the World was the best Christmas song. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's ever on the radio. At least not the over-the-air radio stations. Maybe sometimes, but I don't know what your favorite is, but I will tell you this. My favorite isn't actually something we sing. It's something we read. My favorite Christmas carol is the song that the angels sang in Luke 2:14. My actual favorite is Go Tell It on the Mountain, or I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, or the First Noel. Or O Holy Night. See, I am privileged in that I write the order of service, so I get to sing all my favorites every year. And there are probably songs in the hymnal that are not your favorite, are your favorite, but they're not mine. Birthday for the King, I think, is in there. Lo, and it's not my favorite. It's fine, but we sang Lo, How Air of Roses Blooming. Not my favorite. Sorry. If it's your favorite, God bless you, and that's great. Just not my favorite. It's wonderful, and I'm sure their mother was proud when they wrote it. In the cold recesses of Norway somewhere. This carol that the angels sing. 11 words in the original Greek, but we can expand it. Sometimes you think, you know, how is it going to provide a 45-minute message on just one verse? But I'm going to try. Actually, it won't be 45 minutes. I promised John that we would be out by 5, so I will do that. The first thing that it says, and the first thing we need to do when we come to the Christmas story, when we come to the narrative of the shepherds and angels, is we need to hear the heralded truth. I was thinking as we were singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, how many people think that it has the punctuation in the wrong place? Hark the herald. Isn't that his name? Hark the herald. Hark the herald angel. No, it means hark. Listen. The herald angel sings glory to God, the newborn king. Or something to that effect. I don't have the word. Actually, I do have the word in front of me. I think I might have got it right. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. We need to hear, listen, take heed what is being heralded, what is being trumpeted, what is being reported, what is being decreed and decried. Glory to God in the highest. Revelation 5:11 and further says that angels are singing. When John goes into this dream state and envisions heaven, and he sees the throne and he sees all the angels in heaven, what are they doing? They are singing glory, glory, glory to the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and will ever be. They are decreeing, they are heralding, they are reporting the glory of God, the weight, the immensity, the greatness, the gravitas, the heaviness. The word for glory and honor is timos. You get the word Timothy from it. And it means to put a coat on, to make heavier, to add weight to. And glorifying God gives him immensity. We are able to, through our praise and our worship, to increase the presence of God. We're witnesses to all of God's greatest events through these angels. The angels saw the creation of the earth and thought, that is incredible. They saw the parting of the Red Sea and thought, wow, isn't that amazing? They saw the people of Israel and thought, my goodness, God is so great. And then, in this final act, when God breaks through creation and is there in the midst of humanity, they cannot contain themselves, and heaven cannot contain them. They burst forth with glorious light and tell these shepherds, glory to God in the highest. The pinnacle of God's eternal purposes are being seen. The glory of the tabernacle, the glory of the temple, and now the glory of the Lord is now among you. Emmanuel, God with us. And this angel's carol is a reminder for us that God's glory is revealed in its highest form with the incarnation of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, coming forth from the Father. The angel tells us, the angels tell us in this song, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, because he has done great things. And ultimately, the angels tell us why. The second point, I want you to hear the heartfelt promise that the angels proclaim, not only glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. From the time of human existence, shortly after, I don't know how long after, but shortly after their creation, Adam and Eve fall into sin, and their peace is destroyed. That there is, in Genesis 3:15, enmity, division, strife between them and God. There is, in Genesis 4:8, violence between one another. Genesis 6:5, there is a culture of wickedness taking root. Genesis 13:7, there is warring and factions and division among God's people. Doesn't take long for peace to be destroyed. And yet, the angels are now pronouncing that reconciliation has taken place, that God has provided his peace. God has provided an earthly peace, that there is now reconciliation through Christ for all of us. We can love one another because Christ loves us, because God loves us so greatly that he gave his one and only Son. There is a heavenly peace. There is peace between us and God. That up until the time of Jesus' birth, there was needed a sacrifice, a necessary antidote to the problem of sin. And when Jesus was born, ultimately when Jesus died, that sacrifice was paid in fullness. And so the angel's carol also serves as a reminder to us that God's peace is something that we can enjoy currently. I was mentioning one of my favorite Christmas carols. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And sometimes we feel like Longfellow when he wrote, "There is no peace on earth," I said. But the angels tell us a different story. The angels tell us that now that Christ has been born, now that the Messiah, the promised one of God, has been born, there is peace on earth and goodwill to men. And that's the third thing. Hear the hopeful news that there is goodwill, that this peace is upon all those whom God's favor rests. The angels declare that God's grace is available. It's available to you. It's available to me. Why? Because grace is unearned, unmerited, undeserved. Grace is that which comes to us as a gift. One of the reasons why the early Christians and throughout the ages people have exchanged gifts at Christmas time is because of the great gift that Jesus gave in himself. And in the gift of his grace. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall one day be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." God brought through the prophet the word that says, this is not something that you deserve. He says, come, let us negotiate. Let us reason. Let us balance our books. Let us come to an agreement. And then he says, the agreement is this. You come to me sinful, and I will wash away your sin. Not because of anything you do, just because God loves us so much that he can't stand not being with us. Maybe you have a relative. Maybe you'll see a relative tonight or tomorrow that just loves you so much that they are saying, oh, my Christmas is now complete because we are together. That's how God feels about you every day. Now, God doesn't excuse our sins, just like maybe it's our mom or our dad or our grandmother. They don't excuse the bad things they do that we do. They don't say, oh, yeah, no, he's perfect. And if they do say they're perfect, it's not that you're perfect because everybody knows you're not. But God's not excusing our sin. He is coming and excising it, removing it. He came to forgive. He came to pardon. He came to redeem. He came to enable us to do all those things for one another as well. And so the heavens burst forth into a song, proclaiming Jesus' birth. The praise of God's presence. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to the men on whom his favor rests. There's a poem from an unknown poet. More light than we can learn, more wealth than we can treasure, more love than we can earn, more peace than we can measure, because one child is born. The angel's carol reminds us that God's grace is available to all who come to the manger and bow before the King who sleeps on the hay. And that's what I pray you'll take away today as we continue to celebrate Christmas, that the greatest news from God can be heard from the herald angels. One last time. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Do you realize that this is a special night for Christmas carols? Maybe you do. 150 years ago tonight, in Philadelphia, 1868, Phillips Brooks led his congregation in the very first singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem. And the account was that he thought no one would ever sing it again. And now it's 150 years later. 200 years ago, 1818, in Austria, and I'm going to say this name right because I keep thinking that it's not, but it is. Franz Gruber, not from Die Hard, but a pastor in Austria, and a band, small band of believers, first sang Silent Night. And again, they sang it. There is a myth, which may or may not be true, that they were going to sing something different. And Franz went to the church to prepare a couple days before the service and found out that mice had eaten the bellows of the organ. And so no music came out of the organ. And so he quickly wrote and played on his guitar Silent Night. And he thought, this is just a stopgap. It's not very good. Whether that's true or not, again, it was a carol that no one ever thought would be sung again. And now 200 years later, in almost every language in the world, it's some of the most precious Christmas music, Silent Night. But both of these carols are but a reflection of the greatest song of Christmas, the words of Luke 2:14, which remind us that the greatest news from God can be heard from the herald angels. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we